This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you and welcome to the one talk show in America that helps you make better money moves and the only show that's really and truly all about your money, your business, and your life. Speaking of monkey business, Johnny Dean's in the house. How you doing, Johnny?
I thought it was money business.
Oh, all I'm right. Sorry. So sorry. I get that confused all the time.
I know you do. I know. It's like the Marx Brothers movie. It was monkey business. This is money business. There's a lot to talk about. People find things confusing. And, gee, I wonder why. Strategy. They find, they don't even like to think about it.
I've got so much here. I hardly know where to start. Speaking of strategies, how about a strategy to minimize taking your required minimum distributions? Now, those that are under age 70 and a half, you may not be so concerned about it, but you will be.
Oh, you will be.
You will be, because one of the main complaints that I get, John, is people, they retire at 62, 65, 68, whenever they retire, and they've got a 401k, they've rolled over to an IRA, they got other IRAs, their wife or husband has an IRA, and they get to age 70 and a half. They've been living fine.
They don't even need the IRA.
They don't need the money. And all of a sudden, they're $500,000. They got to take 20 grand out, because if they don't take it out, there's a 50% penalty.
$10,000.
Yeah, 10 grand down the rat hole, so to speak. So I want to talk about that. Amongst other things, should you lower your distributions if your portfolio underperforms the stock market?
Oh.
This is an interesting thing, because one of the things that I've been asked about is, and I don't do this anymore, but you're charging a 1% fee, so the 4% rule is now a 3% rule. We can talk about that, because it's an interesting mathematical computation. 1% is not equal to 1%. But I start today with this. The impact of decreasing retirement savings or retirement spending on safe withdrawals. Everything you've been taught and your advisor has been taught about retirement planning is probably wrong. I will prove it. Sit back, folks. Relax. It's the Ray Program. The revolution's on. All right, Johnny Boy. That's Lennon.
I like Ravolution for some reason.
We can do that.
We got to fit that in.
We can do that.
It's probably taken somewhere, but I like that idea.
This is really interesting stuff. There was a fellow, a young guy. His name is Thorpe, not John.
What?
Derek Tharp. I'm sorry. Derek Tharp, who is a research associate dude, who's a really smart young man. And he wrote about safe withdrawal rate research. I don't want to get too complicated here, because it's not really that complicated. But those that have spent their last, 1 year, 5 years, 25 years in the financial planning business know that there's this thing called the 4% rule. Back 1994, Bill Benjamin, this famous financial guy, did these Monte Carlo calculations and determined that if you had a 50-50 mix of stocks and bonds, you could take 4% out of your portfolio for the rest of your life or 30 years, whichever comes first, and have a almost 100% degree of certainty. You'll never run out of money. So that has been the mantra that exists in the financial. If you've got a financial planner and you've got $1 million and you say, well, how much can I spend, Charlie? $40,000 a year. That's the number you get. And the reason that's the number you get is because they're using a factor of inflation built into your spending. And John, that's where the problem lies.
So in other words, I get a raise every year, every 2 years or whatever it is for inflation.
You have to get a raise. And if inflation's 4% and you're getting $40,000, the next year you're going to get $41,600, and it goes up and up and up and up and up. And that information is bogus, and it's wrong. and it's probably causing you to have to save a lot more money than you really need to save. You may be shortchanging yourself, folks. Let's read from the Mr. Derek Tharp research. On average, he says, most retirees actually experience decreasing rates of real spending throughout retirement. Okay, so what does that mean? Real spending means after accounting for inflation. So not only is inflation a non-issue in retirement, your real spending, that is to say, after factoring in that 3 or 4% inflation, you're still spending less money. Allow me, if I may, to continue. Real spending decreases about 1% per year throughout retirement. That's from the Consumer Expenditure Survey from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Don't believe them? No worries. A follow-up study from David Blanchett at Morningstar utilized data from the RAND Health and Retirement Study, more commonly known as the HRS, to find that real spending actually increased. David Blanchett, increased in the first few years of retirement, but then began decreasing at an increasing rate throughout the remainder of the first half of retirement, bottoming out in an annual change of -2% before beginning to decrease at a decreasing rate, which they come out to about -0.5%. So they look at the so-called U-shaped or the smile, the retirement smile.
Yes, where it goes down and then comes back up. It's more of I think the real chart might be more of a smirk where it comes down like this and toward the very end kind of goes up for healthcare.
Well, it looks like that, if you can see that.
That's kind of a smile.
But here's what's interesting. This line, and folks that are hearing us on radio too, but there's a line called the level inflation adjusted spending. So picture that line and then picture your smile underneath that line and never reaching the top right-hand corner of the crack on your smile. In other words, you never get to the real inflation spending number until you're dead. This takes you out beyond 90, and you haven't even gotten to real spending. Okay, so what's the implication of all this? Because this is what's important to you. When we calculate how much money you need to save to hit your retirement goal, we do it with all these Excel spreadsheets. I do it on a calculator. But if I were to try to determine how much money you might need to save, let's say you're 40 years old and you've saved nothing. And I said, well, John, how much do you want to spend at retirement? Well, I want to spend $100,000 a year. Okay, great. Social Security is going to be $30,000. So you need $70,000 a year. I'm making this number up. And you're going to need it for 35 years because we're going to take you out to 95. You're going to retire at 60, all right? 35 years. And you're going to earn, let's say, 5% on your money. And inflation will be 3%. So that's a net 2% on your money.
So I'm 40 years old and I've saved nothing so far.
Yeah. So you need $1,750,000 and you've got 20 years to get to it. 1750, change sign, so you get even 6% on your money. You've got to save $47,573 per year, John.
Over 20 years?
Yeah, for the next 20 years. Every year for the next 20 years.
Well, I can do that. I wouldn't be able to eat, but I could do it.
So now, if in fact you had that same $70,000 income requirement and your spending decreased, not increased, but decreased. Let's just say it's flat, all right?
So I don't give myself a raise.
You don't give yourself a raise, but you've got flat spending. They call it nominal spending of $70,000. So if I want $70,000 in payments for 35 years and I can earn 5% on my money, instead of $1,750,000, it's $1,150,000. That's $600,000, $600,000. I mean, what is that percentage wise? Like 40% less?
Well, then, so I don't need $47,000 to save $47,000.
No, you need like $30,000 a year, $25,000 a year.
Easier.
So all of a sudden, your whole life changes because on one hand, you're super depressed. You sit down with your wife and say, we're never going to be able to retire. Or you say, you know what, honey? Retiring at 60 is out of the question. We're going to have to push it to age 70. And she says, but John, your heart.
You're right.
Exactly. You have no heart.
I'm sitting here clutching it as I'm looking at these numbers.
You're
and
like
saying,
the
I
Tin Man.
I got to work till I'm 70.
Was it the Tin Man that didn't have a heart?
Yeah, but at the end, spoiler alert, he got one.
He did?
Did you tape? You taped it.
I did.
Yeah, I gave away the ending. I'm sorry.
I'm going to watch it right after the Super Bowl.
Right. Okay, yeah, right.
I taped that too.
From 3 years ago.
Yeah. Stick around, folks. More of the Ray Lucia Show right after this. Man, I'll tell you what, both of those songs sounded like my band.
This one does, you know? Yeah. This is a catchy tune. Whatever became of these guys.
I don't know.
Or was this your band?
They're still around, man. They're still phenomenal. Yeah, unbelievable. Well,
except for Charlie Watts, who decided that's enough. That's enough.
It is enough for Charlie.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Mick is still amazing. The guy is still freaking amazing.
He is.
Keith is unbelievable, too.
Yeah.
He's still smoking that same cigarette.
I don't know what he's doing, man. I don't understand. He looks 70 now, and he's like 80 or something. He looked 70 when he was 30.
Yeah, he hasn't changed.
I don't know what he is. He runs that line across that you're talking about.
I wonder what's in those cigarettes that he smokes.
Oh, it couldn't be anything. No.
Welcome back, folks. We've been talking about spending in retirement. I think the point, and we'll move on, the point is most of the time, advisors are telling you you can't retire, you need to save more money, or giving you some line, and they haven't really explored what savings is required to meet your spending needs, because spending decreases in retirement. It's a proven fact. I can quote 10 different studies. I just went through two of these. I can quote Ty Bernanke, Salzman and Ticino. There's a bunch of them that have been out there. Bogleheads did one. Really, really, really interesting and important stuff. Now, I want to have a caveat in here. Even healthcare, which is the big bugaboo in retirement, because that goes up, the spending for healthcare goes up, but it doesn't go up more than the other spending goes down, in particular, since Medicare covers a good chunk of your healthcare needs. Long-term care is not covered by Medicare, and it's why we are very anal about making sure you talk to someone about getting long-term care coverage, because it could be the spoiler, if you will.
Yeah, and it's no longer, just to throw this out on long-term care, it's no longer hand the insurance company a bunch of money every year, and then if you don't use it, it's completely gone. There are ways to actually set up an account where it's still your money.
Yep, absolutely right.
And by the way, it connected to a life insurance policy, but that's for another discussion.
Okay, the next thing that bugs retirees is the required minimum distributions. Now, as you all know, when you turn age 70 and a half, you are required to start taking money out of your retirement accounts. Your IRAs can be all aggregated together, and then you have to take out, it starts at about 4%. And then it goes up slightly, ever so slightly, every single year. You look at the account balance from 12/31 from the prior year, you apply the factor. Next thing you know, you got to take the required minimum distribution. And if you don't take it, there's a 50% penalty.
Yeah, so if you should have taken out $4,000, they're going to charge you, it's a $2,000 penalty if you miss that $4,000.
If you miss the $4,000.
Any amount that you miss, cut it in half and add it to the bill.
Yeah, they're a little kinder and gentler on that, but not much. So it's just best not to mess with it. Now, what can you do to delay taking required minimum distributions? Well, the first thing you can do is, if you're still working at a company that has a 401k plan and you don't own 5% of the stock, it can't be your company, right? So you got to go to work for John Dean Productions.
Or you're not related to somebody who
right.
is.
So what happens now is you can roll your IRAs into your 401k, because there is no required minimum distribution from a 401k from a company in which you are still employed. That also means if they can take roll-ins from your other rollovers or IRAs, then you're not required to take that required minimum distribution. because when you do the 1231 calculation of your IRAs, there will be no money in that IRA. So you do need to do some planning ahead of time, because if there's an IRA at the end of the year, even if you did it after January 1, if in 2018 you had an IRA and you're 70 and a half, you need to take a required minimum distribution from your IRAs. Now, this year's a different story. So that's one. If you're still working, it's a still working exception. You don't have to do a required minimum distribution. You roll over your IRAs. That's that. Most people don't realize that.
Well, they don't. All you gotta do is check with your HR person to make sure that they will accept. They're allowed to. They don't have to, but they can accept IRA roll money in there.
Now, a few years ago, and you remember this, under the Obama administration, they did some research and they said, you know what? More people should be buying annuities. Really? Yes. The government said, in our research, we think individuals that are retiring should allocate a certain percentage of their retirement accounts to annuities. And if you do so, up to 25%, not to exceed $130,000 in 2019, you don't have to count that in the calculation for the required minimum distribution. So if you have a $500,000 IRA, whatever 25% of that is, 125 grand, you can put into a QLAC, a qualified lifetime annuity contract. And what that means is you take the 125 out of the equation. Now you've got to do the required minimum distribution on 375,000. The QLAC is a deferred income annuity. 10 years later, it kicks out a check. And here's the good part about that. Lots of research has been done, and deferred annuities help you to spend more money in retirement, tweak your portfolio to make it a little more aggressive, and more money for your heirs. Doesn't get much better than that.
Are you a fan of the QLAC?
No.
I'm not either.
I'm not a fan of the QLAC because of where interest rates are.
Exactly.
And you can buy, you can't use a traditional, like an index annuity or something like that, that qualifies as a QLAC. So if you really want to reduce the required minimum distribution. Now, I had a call with an advisor a month or so ago, and it was a very smart guy. And he ended up laddering a couple of QLACs. He did all the math and all that. And he, in his own mind, felt like, you know, he didn't want to play with index annuities or anything else. And he liked the idea of it lowering his required minimum distribution. So for him, I liked it. For me, I don't.
Yeah. I just think ultimately the rate of return you're going to get is pretty bad.
Well, you know,
maybe you don't care.
And maybe it's not going to be that great on the other annuities either. So
it may not be. Is it 85? When do you have to start taking the money?
Well, it's a deferral. It doesn't have to be 85. It could be 75.
For some reason, 85 stuck.
Well, that's when most of them are seem to be most efficient.
Okay, maybe that's what it is.
Then there's the qualified charitable distribution.
Oh, I love this.
So when you want to donate to charity, with the higher 24,000 married couple exemptions that you have, now the standard deduction as it's called, most, if not a lot of people, aren't getting a real live income tax write-off for making a charitable donation. One way to circumvent that is to have the money, you got to be 70 and a half now, one way to circumvent it is to go straight to your IRA and have them send the check to your qualified charity. And that way, it's like a tax-deductible contribution because it's money you don't have to report as income, and that qualifies as a required minimum distribution. So we've saved some money here for some folks.
I love the whole – I think anybody who's charitably inclined, who is at least the actual age of 70 and a half, should be doing that.
You
no
know,
reason not to.
What's really cool about it is you can bunch up a couple of years – and make a big contribution one year and then be done with it. Your charity. We'll be back. We have feedback.
The ship coming in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's Born on a Bayou.
Born on the Bayou. Wow. I had to think for a second. Usually they skip past
that. Yeah, I know, I know, I know.
On the radio. Yeah, Born on the
Bayou. I used to do this song until I blew my voice out doing it.
You
ever tried to sing
Fogerty?
No.
Jeez. No,
I'm waiting for him to come back to Vegas because he's one of my all-time favorites.
Well, you know, the funny thing is he sounds like he was born on the Bayou. He's a
San Francisco dude.
He's a Northern Californian guy, you know?
Uh-huh.
But hey, give
he's
more
a flower
power to
child.
They all were. But yeah, hey, great.
He's incredible. He is really,
really
an incredible singer.
Yeah.
I think he and Henley are maybe my two favorite male vocalists.
It depends on my mood. I've got a list of about 8 or 9 that I really.
And my female's Gladys Knight now. She's the best ever. After her performance a few weeks ago in the Super Bowl, I mean, are you kidding me? She was amazing.
Yeah,
she's 70 freaking 5 years old or something.
I missed
her voice is sweet.
I don't tune in until
go
kickoff.
Online and find it.
Well,
it was the best part. It was much better than the tattooed, what's his name?
Most of them can't
Levine.
Sing in the first place.
He's actually extremely talented.
They can't sing.
Adam Levine, he's very talented.
To get my favorite females, you got to go back several decades, and it's too embarrassing.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back, folks. It's the Ray Lucia program, where we talk about money, business, and music, and your life.
Yeah, not always in that order.
We don't have life without music.
Well, music is you know,
music
it's
is
all
my life.
I love music.
We've been talking about required minimum distributions.
Yes, yes. Okay,
right?
So ways to reduce it. You brought up a couple before the break.
Well, the one that I think is one of the best things you can do, because you brought this up earlier, is a Roth conversion leading up to retirement. Mm-hmm. If you can figure out a way to postpone your Social Security, so you don't have to worry about taxation on that, and do Roth conversions in advance of that, A, you're building up that tax-free silo. B, your Social Security will be growing by 8% per year. And C, your required minimum distribution is going to be lower. So that would be one of the first things that I would do.
I love the idea. It requires you, of course, to pay some taxes now. But you got to be thinking about what tax bracket you're in. Heck, you might be in, you know, a 12% tax bracket, where you're not going to pay as much, and allow your Social Security to grow, as you say. You got to pay taxes on it sometime. I mean, it might be better to pay it now rather than when your IRA 10 years from now has grown by 40% or whatever it is, and you're going to be in a higher tax bracket with a higher RMD.
Well, this is where we talk about what we call generational planning.
Yes.
Because you may be in a 12% bracket, but your brain surgeon's son or daughter may be
39.
In a 37% bracket. Bracket, right? So it would be better for them to inherit the money in a Roth IRA.
Absolutely.
Than your IRA, subject to required minimums. There's a couple other things you can do. You can marry like a 23-year-old.
You're 70 and a half, and the other one's 23.
Yeah, it could happen.
Sure.
In Hollywood, it happens all the time.
Well, it's Hollywood. But yes, now that will reduce it somewhat. It doesn't reduce it a lot. And I would suspect that the 23-year-old will reduce that IRA considerably over the next few years.
And you won't have to worry about required minimum distributions.
Right, exactly. Which goes to the next way to do it, which is to lose money, you see.
Which brings me to the next way to do it. And that is, if you married the 23-year-old, perhaps what you ought to do is take the required minimum distribution, and she will have you buy a life insurance policy naming her or him.
Or him. Let's not.
Don't want to be sexist here. But in all seriousness, this is one H of an idea. Because if this is money you're probably not going to spend, right? And I gave this example out a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago. I don't know. But somebody did the math. Now, again, I can't vouch for the math because I didn't do it, but the concept I can vouch for. Here's what he said. If you, let's say you had a required minimum distribution of $30,000 and you're in a 30% tax bracket, so you'd have to pay 10 grand in taxes, you'd net 20,000 bucks per year. If you take the 20,000 bucks per year, and over the next 10, 11 years, you got $250,000 bucks amassed. If you took that same $20,000 bucks, he says you would get a $650,000 life insurance policy. Wow. If you died 10, 15 years later, $650,000 tax-free compared to $250,000, say, tax-free, is one heck of a rate of return.
You're saying just take
on
one $20,000?
No, no, it's $20,000 a year.
A year, I was going to say. This is a permanent policy we're talking
permanent,
about. Cash value policy.
You could do a one lump sum thing. I probably wouldn't recommend that.
No, no.
Because if you died in 6 months, you would have wasted a lot of money.
Absolutely.
But the strategy of using this to enhance the legacy value of your estate at a cost of zero, because it's really a return on investment, unless, of course, you live until you're 97, 98 years old. I've done the math. I did it for myself and my wife on a second that I have a few years back. And it took us out to about 95 years old, where it was still like a 5 or a 6% tax-free rate of return.
Yeah, of course, the old naturally, as with any life insurance, the older you are, the less of a rate of return you're going to get.
But I think people ought to consider using their required minimum distributions that they're probably not going to spend to enhance the value of their estate.
Make sure you're
for your kids.
First insurable.
Well, obviously, you have to be able to qualify.
So maybe you should think about setting it up before then as just, you know, a permanent type cash value policy, maybe in your 60s. I don't know.
You know, what's interesting about that is, you might recall, we have talked many times about the actuarial bond calculation and being able to marry an annuity with a life insurance policy, because if you die early, the life insurance policy kicks in and you get a pretty good rate of return. If you don't die early, the life insurance policy is not as good a deal, but the annuity becomes a great deal. And so the marrying of the two and then tweaking your portfolio to make it a tad more aggressive, when put under the microscope by the retirement researcher, put under the microscope, you ended up with more spendable income in retirement and more legacy value, unless you died at like age 66. Then it's, you know, you're probably 15, 20% under.
Yeah, but you don't care.
I mean, a husband and a wife that's 50 years old right now, thinking about dying, one of them could die, I guess, at 66. Both of them, it's just not an actuarially sound decision. Thinking that a 50-year-old could make it to 95, one or the other, is way more actuarially sound today than dying at 66. That I can assure you.
Plus, I think you were happier because you had all this these guarantees.
Well, you would be happier because that's the kind of guy you are.
I mean, I am speaking from personal experience. I like guarantee. I think I said this before. I like the guarantee. It's just
I'm
me.
More of a risk taker, as you well know,
and
that's paid off for me, and it's also bit me in the fanny a couple of times.
Right, and that doesn't, you know, you've lived a good portion of your, you know, adult life doing that.
Still doing it. Still taking risk every day.
Well, you are. Now, there are those of us who prefer maybe some more guarantees.
But I will say this. About 3 or 4 years ago, when I had that out of the clear blue heart attack,
yes,
all this stuff went through my mind about all the risks that I had taken.
You said why.
I've taken the losses, and most of the risks that I've taken have been because of other people in my life, friends and other people. Can I just say that?
Yeah, all right.
Where I helped them with their business, or I helped them with an investment they wanted to make. Or
those are the risks.
Yeah, it wasn't like risking the stock market.
No, it wasn't that. It was just there's a personal risk to me that they won't pay me back.
Yeah, and so while I'm in the helicopter, the Life Flight helicopter overlooking the Grand Canyon, I'm thinking, what a freaking moron to lend him that money.
You're thinking
what
that?
An idiot I was. Yeah, I mean, I have life insurance and all that stuff, and I'm thinking about Jeannie and the kids and the family and all
right,
that.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my rosary and all the stuff that you do when you think you're going to die.
Too late.
I'm just telling you that the next time you're being approached to do something that you know in your heart of hearts is stupid, come up with any kind of a lame excuse. See, my excuse now is my wife won't let me. She
well,
just
that,
won't let me.
That'll end that.
I mean, talk to Jeannie. Talk to Jeannie. You need a loan from me? Talk to my wife. I mean, she just won't let me because I've done this before. Hasn't worked out very well. I want to stay friends with you, John.
Right.
I want to stay. And if this doesn't work out and we're not friends and my wife hates your guts, there's just something wrong with that. So
right.
I just can't do it. I'm sorry.
I don't even need. I just say I don't believe in that. I can't do that. You know, and if they don't want to be your friend because you said no, then you're not my friend anyway. In fact, you shouldn't have asked me in the first place.
They're not your friend if they're asking you.
That's what I'm saying.
How can somebody go to their friend and ask them for money? Although it's happened to me several times, so those people cannot be my friends. I did get a Carvin 12-string guitar out of him. Remember that beautiful Carvin?
Yes, I do remember that, but that didn't equal...
I lent the guy $40,000 for his business.
It was a $40,000...
And I think it was 11 years later, he showed up one day at the office with a beautiful Carvin guitar.
Yeah, but there's some...
That wouldn't have covered the 1 year's interest.
And I know a few others that didn't even show up with a guitar and you never saw them again.
They showed up with one finger. Yeah. Let's just say that. We'll be back with emails. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information every day. I hope you can join us each day. If you can't, go to raylucia.com, RayLucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button, send us an email, or you can actually watch live there with our friends at Biz TV and Business Talk Radio. It's all free right now. I think it's all free. I don't know. There might be a small charge.
Everything's free these days.
I think it's a small charge.
Well, maybe it is. I have no
idea. To tune into this show, you got to pay us something.
Well, you should. If you missed today, you've missed why financial advisors have been wrong you're saving potentially too much. You're cheating yourself.
Yeah, I didn't even get the 1% thing that I teased earlier. We'll have to do that tomorrow.
All right. Well, we'll hold on to that. And then we also talked about strategies to reduce your required minimum distributions.
Yep.
And, you missed all that stuff if you just tuned in.
But you miss a minute. You miss a lot. I'm telling you, folks.
Don't do it. Nope. But at least you're here for the emails.
So hit it, fellas. Let's do some emails.
All right. All right, so Corey, I take it might be a youngish person because I think a lot of young people do this, but I could be wrong.
A lot of young people are named Corey.
I can't think of any over 40. Can you? Any
Corey's? I've got one came in on my cell phone. Edward. That's kind of an old name.
It is an old name. You don't see too many Eddies anymore.
Charles.
Eddie's a real name.
Yeah, I love Eddie.
Eddie's a name.
Eddie was my best friend growing up. Eddie Honorato.
Yeah.
Bought my first guitar from Eddie Honorato's dad.
Every Eddie I've ever known has been trustworthy and down to earth.
I know, seriously.
You know what I mean? You just don't see him anymore.
Yeah, I know.
They're all named Taylor, Tucker. Sorry. All right, back to business at hand. Corey, hi, if I do a lot of jobs like Uber, Instacart, DLive, whatever that is, etc., should I have an LLC or S corporation? Is it better for to do one of these for tax purposes?
Well,
Uber, let's just take Uber.
Matter. The fact of the matter is you need to buy a ton of insurance because you're probably not going to be protected from a liability standpoint from either one of them. Insurance would be the best thing to do for protection. Now, if I were going to choose from a tax standpoint, remember, an LLC gives you zero tax benefits unless you're already making a bunch of money and paying FICA at another company. The LLC would enable you to have, quote, some protection and not have to pay the FICA again. Whereas an S corporation, you have to pay FICA on your second salary too. So, but at least with an S corporation, you'd get some benefits. You can get a pass through, the 20% thing. Well, you get that either way. You can get some fringe benefits in a C corp, but to be honest with you, how much are you going to make part time as an Uber driver? And do you realize how much it's going to cost to go to a lawyer? And then you got to file a tax return and all this other stuff. I don't know. I'd say neither.
Yeah, and luckily Corey's in Nevada, so I don't think it's all that expensive to set one up. If you were in like a state like California, where
have
an S corporation, it's $800.
Everything's $800 for either one. Yeah, that's right.
It's bad.
So talk to your lawyer. I don't want to give you legal advice, but I don't think you're going to get much protection because you'll be the guy driving the car.
The LLC isn't going to protect you because you're driving the car. The S corporation isn't going to protect you because you're the one doing all the work. So you can't protect yourself from yourself.
Yeah.
You just have insurance, as you said.
That's why you got to buy a ton of insurance.
Yeah. All right. Andrew has a question. I have a 401k from a former employer. It has pre-tax and after-tax money in it. The pre-tax money, I know, can be rolled over into an IRA, a rollover IRA. Question, can the after-tax money be rolled over into a Roth IRA?
It can now. We didn't know the answer to that some years back. But yes, but you've got to do it all trustee to custodian. All right, your administrator can handle this, but you've got to siphon off the post-tax money and send that directly to your Roth IRA custodian, and then take the balance of the pre-tax money and send that directly to the IRA, traditional IRA custodian, and never the twain shall meet. You can't commingle Roth and traditional money, but it can be done, and it's certainly advisable to do.
Yeah, and we know we can also go from IRA to, if you have pre and post-tax money in an IRA, we talk about this when doing Roth conversions or Roth two-step, moving the pre-tax money to a 401k
right.
if you can. So I got one more. Do you want a tax question?
Let me take the one I got on my email from.
Oh, this one that just came in?
I mean, yeah, from the.
All right. Well, I'll tell Pilar and Sam to hold on. We got one.
This is Edward. That's why I brought up the name.
Oh,
Eddie.
All right. Eddie.
Right?
Eddie.
You said Eddie. His name's Edward. He's not Eddie.
Yeah, he's Eddie to me.
Okay. It looks like I invested too much into my Roth IRA for 2018. What can I do to avoid penalties? Okay, so here's the deal, Eddie. Or Edward, you have until October the 15th of this year to figure out what to do. You can either get the money out or do a recharacterization. If you get the money out, if you've had any earnings, then you'd have to pay tax on it. You probably don't have any earnings because you probably went through a miserable December just like we all did. And certainly the stock market since then hasn't been enough to offset most of the losses. So you're probably not going to have to worry about that. The recharacterization, I think, is usually the best thing that you can do because you can recharacterize to a non-deductible IRA. However, if you can't have, you know, more than $6,000 this year, that goes into a Roth or a deductible, or I mean, just IRA, period. So you've got to be careful not to exceed the limits. But if you put too much into a Roth, I guess he makes too much money, right? So he's probably phased out.
Yes, it happens.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anybody at any income level can fund a non-deductible IRA, and then you can convert to a Roth. So you were just mentioning the backdoor way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the backdoor way to do it.
Yes. Now, any income level above zero. If your income is at zero, you can't.
Oh, no, you've got to have earned.
You have to have earned income.
To have
well,
earned
we get that question
income.
Every once in a while. Somebody who's retired say, well, can I still contribute to an IRA? Also, I believe you got to be, you can't be a higher than required minimum distribution age on the IRA.
I do want to cover this because do we have time?
You got 45 seconds.
That's, no, we don't. Okay, it'll be tomorrow. It'll have to be tomorrow.
Can
because,
you tease it? Can you give me the topic?
Well, it, once again, someone's complaining about they're paying their advisor a 1% fee.
And oh, and when you tie it into the 4% rule, like we talked about.
Right. So we're going to have to do that. I apologize, but we're out of time. I thank you all for tuning in, though. Just an awesome show. Johnny Dean, thank you, buddy.
Hey, it's been fun, and we're going to do it again.
Real and fun.
Right, exactly. Depending on where you are watching and listening, we could be coming up next.
Stay tuned. You never know. In the meantime, go out and make it a blessed day, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions online at raylucia.com.